Please start, everyone. Can we just pray before we look into the Word? Loving Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you, Lord, for all these beautiful songs that we could sing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for once again reminding us our hope is built on nothing else but Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you, Lord, for that great hope. Thank you, Lord, for the great rock. Thank you, Lord, for bringing the children as well and giving us all this little glimpse of who you are this morning as we gather in your presence. Lord, we pray that you will reveal through your word, Lord, the things that you want us to do while we come here to worship every morning, Lord Jesus. Lord, we submit ourselves and each and every one into your hands. Lord, be my mouth and I hide myself behind thy cross, Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I almost felt like saying, we sang so many songs this morning, we don't need a message. So many songs, and as Uncle was reminding, all of those songs are so deep. And from the first song we sang to the last song we sang, I was just looking at the verses of all of that, and I said I should just repeat those songs this morning, but I wouldn't do that. We will look into a few verses of a shepherd boy who became a king and wrote about 150 chapters, maybe, close to that. Not all of them are written from, not all of those chapters are written by the shepherd boy. But I was reading through a few psalms, and I saw a little bit of a pattern that kind of I wanted to bring this morning. So before we, you know, bring our individual worship to the Lord this morning, I just wanted to share a few things from the verses that I read from Psalms this morning. I was very amazed that many of the Psalms that David has written, he has actually written it completely out of his heart. And no wonder he is a man of God's own heart. No wonder. Simple as that. He has written it in his time of need. He has written it very, very carefully, and the selection of words are for eternity, you know, from till the time these psalms are written, till the Lord comes again, we all can just look into that and relate to that. He was a man of war, and he went through a lot of issues, and a few things that came out was the amount of strength that he derived from his rock, the amount of protection and amount of hedging that he had with the Lord, and how he acknowledged that. He clearly brought this theme out in many of his psalms, and we will look into three psalms this morning, just a few verses from two, and then we'll read 15 verses from Psalm 144. But we'll first read from Psalm 18, three verses, 1, 2, and 3. Has everyone got Psalm 18? I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. And we'll read a couple of other verses as well from Psalm 8. Verse 1. Well, actually, let's read 1 to 5. Psalm 8. Verse 1 to 5. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. One more reading, which is 15 verses, Psalms 144. Verses I'll read. Blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle, my loving kindness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and the one in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Flash forth lightning, and scatter them. Shoot out your arrows, and destroy them. Stretch out your hand from above. Rescue me, and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, the one who gives salvation to the kings, who delivers David his servant from the deadly sword. Rescue me and deliver me from the hand of foreigners, whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style, that our barns may be full, supplying all kinds of produce, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our fields, that our oxen may be well laden, that there may be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. So I don't know if you picked up a theme. You know, I just read it quickly, but you know, a couple of things that you can see in all of these psalms that is repeated. One of the things that I noticed is the attribute of strength that David, being a man of war, has clearly said that. In this chapter itself, when we just look at the first verse, blessed be the Lord my rock, who trains my hand for war. And going back into first chapter, Psalm 18, it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. I see this as a very, very important theme that is sharing. You know, he was a shepherd and he accomplished a lot, but he has very clearly said that none of his accomplishment is because of his strength. He says that this is a physical battle that he's talking of. David had lots of battle, as we read in the Old Testament. We see he had heaps and heaps of battle. And I'm sure he's also meaning the spiritual battle that he faced through Satan. But you see this theme when we read all of these chapters, which is very similar to saying that he will not trust in anything else, but he will trust in him, who is his rock. As believers, as we all know this, that we can trust in him. But to make this a song, make this repeated, make this an object of our worship, it's like saying thank you when you receive a gift. You know, when I was sharing on the message on Christmas, we were talking of the usefulness of the gift of Christmas, and we were talking of the cost, and we were talking of its effectiveness. Worship this morning is the answer to all of that he gave us. And when we look at David, he knew what was his obligation for what he received. He received the strength. He received that rock. He received that shield. He received his salvation. He received many things which he's utterly dependent on. He's not saying that he is independent from God. He is telling this morning, to us as well, that even after so many years, that when we come here, when we sit here in the presence of the Lord, one thing that we can for sure say and thank the Lord is the protection that He gives us. From not only physical harm and danger, which we all understand, but from the spiritual battle around our heads. When we look at each of our salvations, we know there was a spiritual battle. And there is great joy in giving thanks to the Lord because He defeated the enemy in each of our lives. And that is a good point to praise our Lord when we come into His presence. He's here with us. And because we all depend on Him for many things, one of the things that we just looked at was the strength. But what is the other thing that David brings out in that psalm? I'll just spend a few minutes on that and then wind it all up. I don't want to spend too much time because there's so much to say. God willing, I'll share from the same Psalm 144 again. But one thing I want to bring out again very clearly. When in the first two verses, he's very clearly attributing his dependence. David in Psalm 144 is very clearly telling his dependence on God. There is no doubt about that. He is telling he is his hider, he is the deliverer, he is the shield, and in him he can take refuge, who subdues my people under me. So he's just in that first two verses, he's very clearly bringing forth the fact that he is utterly dependent on this God for everything in his life. But guess what? The next two verses, he's comparing that with his worth. He's comparing that. The attribute of his worship through the psalm, his praises, magnifies multiple times when he's thinking who he is. And when he says, Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Not just once. We read in the other psalm as well. What is man that you take knowledge of him? That is remembering who we are. That is remembering how weak our frame is. I remember Jacob sharing from last week, Lord, teach me to number our days. And here, this man, David, knew what he is. He's telling, man is like a breath. Can you imagine that? The extent of that? Man is like a breath. Do you know how many breaths you take every day? I found out. Approximately 28,000 breaths. And it could be high or low, depending on you're running or sleeping or doing some activity. But that's the amount of breath that each one of us take. And here is the humility of David saying that in spite of all his accomplishments, he rose up from being a shepherd boy to be a king, and he had many battles, but he never forgot the reality of who he was. He definitely understood exactly what his significance when he compared himself to the holy, eternal, unspeakable, and many other adjectives. He knew what was his worth. He says his days are like a passing shadow. And that's exactly where we are as well. You know, we'll come and go, and our days are gone. But comparing that to what the Lord has done, the Lord is doing, and what the Lord has brought into David's life, he feels like just worshiping. He feels like coming to the Lord with open hands and saying, thank you. He feels like saying, thank you for being that rock. And he feels like saying that, you know, if we compare the heavens to the earth, if we compare the creation in Psalms, the previous psalm that we heard, who is he that a great God has taken notice of him? You know, and if we just focus on those couple of things, isn't that enough for us to worship our Lord? Isn't that just enough to come into his presence this morning? Because I've just yesterday seen a man lying dead on a floor, and not that I have not seen dead people, but again it has hit my head hard. This is what life is, quickly. And then after that man is dead, he's gone. And this man, okay, most of you wouldn't know, maybe some of you know. I'm talking of Our neighbor Jazz, I don't know if all of you know Roshan, do you know my neighbor? Yeah, it's just immediate neighbor next door to us. There's Jazz and Reema. Their dad and mom were visiting from India, and they just came here for 6 months. And 2 days before, I spent about 45 minutes talking to him. He was talking to me and all of that. And he was telling all of his grandiose plans about what he's going to do. And he's going to New Zealand after this. He's coming back from here. Then he's going to Canada and all of that. And then the day after that, again, when we were just about to leave our home, I was talking to the same man, which is Jess's dad. And I was telling to Toby in the car, Jess's dad is very healthy than many, all of the dads that we are aware of, because he's a well stout man, walking and about 66 years of age. And I was telling Toby, and Toby said, yeah, I think so. Yeah, he looks very healthy. But guess what? Yesterday morning, the day after that, we had this conversation in the car. It's no more. And the point I want to bring forth is the same thing, that man is like a breath. He comes and he's gone. And his days are like a passing shadow. He comes. No matter what plans we make, no matter what we do not know. Like Uncle reminded us when we opened this morning. You know, the days come in, days are finished, and we are gone off by this earth. But David knew about that. David knew about that, and that's very clearly outlined in his worship, in his praises. He says that, I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings I will sing praises. The one who gives salvation to the kings. It's not only for the Gentiles. He also understood that this is the same God who has given salvation to him. He was a king. And he is telling, he is delivered. If you look at verse 10, he delivers. Who delivers David, his servant, from the deadly sword? And each one of us this morning can rejoice on the same thing, that we have been delivered from that river Jordan that we sang again this morning, that one day we will cross, but we know where we are going. We know exactly what is going to happen to us. You know, I was sitting and talking to Jazz after this. His sorrow passed away, and the children started to say that, you know, his grandpa has become a star. He's become a star, but they don't know what is happening. You know, they don't know. We know this morning that if we have the Holy Spirit, like David has said that, it is the one, he is the one who gives salvation. The one who gives salvation to kings. The one who gave salvation to someone like me. The one who is our rock. The one who is our strength. The one who has redeemed us by his own blood. The one who loved us so much that he gave us his life. You know, that one, we need to give our worship. We are obligated to actually give our worship. As David feels obligated, this morning we also should feel obligated, not only for the physical protection that we get, but for the eternal battle that Jesus has fought with Satan, and when he has defeated death and made a public spectacle of him. And no longer we have the fear of that death in our lives. It is because of the death of his son. We can't forget that. You know, that's very simple. Nothing that we are not aware of, but yet so powerful. When I read all of these Psalms, the pattern is very clear. David brings across his problems, he worships the Lord, and then he comes back again praying for strength. And you see in this later part of this psalm, he's praying for strength, and then he's finishing off again with worship. That is the pattern through many psalms that we'll read. He worships, he thanks, he praises, he worships. He worships, he thanks, he praises, that pattern is there. And he finishes off in this psalm, happy are those who has got the Lord. You know, he finishes up with that line. And again, we sing all of these songs while we worship. Happiness is to know the Lord. And there is that's that last verse, my reward is in heaven. You know, what was that verse? My reward is... My reward is giving glory to you. That was that last verse. Okay, where do we go? Yeah, anyway, you know what song I'm meaning, isn't it? All right, let's come to worship with all these thoughts. Amen.